the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
When I preached for the first time here at Transfiguration on Pentecost Sunday, I asked Father John Daniel whether he had any tips on how to preach. And he said, as a matter of fact, I do. You have to speak directly into the microphone, otherwise it won't be heard. So I'd like to say that at any time during the sermon this morning, you can't hear me, put your hand up, and hopefully I'll see you and speak more directly and loud, more loudly into the microphone, okay? That's the deal. Today's gospel spoke quite personally to me. It's a good example, I think, of how you can read the Bible over and over again, and it can still speak to you in a new and fresh way. It's a highly symbolic text, and all of a sudden, when I read it for the first time after many years, I realized that it was a text about disability and about a woman, and more generally, about reaching out. Here's what I mean. Luke 13, our gospel passage today, is a story about a crippled woman. The woman is quite doubled over with a curvature of the spine, partial stenosis of the spine is how we would call it today, and she's had that condition for a long time. The text says that she could not fully straighten up for 18 years. That's a long time, isn't it? But even before we go to the condition, we should note that this is a story about a woman for whom Jesus was concerned. He saw her and he immediately cared about her. He saw in her the goodness that lay within her weak body. What should this story tell us? Well, I think it's clear that Jesus has compassion and empathy and concern, not only for a woman, but for a bent-over woman, a disabled woman. He cared about her, and by extension, he cares about us, and sees something in us. And note too, that she couldn't come to him asking to be cured, and he went to her. How does this apply to us? Well, if we believe that Jesus is alive, and we do, then we should understand him as someone who cares for others and cares for us. Cares for us today. And we should also see this story as a story about inclusion. It's remarkable when we think that this gospel was written over 2,000 years ago, when women were very often overlooked, not valued, not respected, often not even cared about. And yet here we have a story about a woman, probably an elderly woman, who does not even call out to Jesus to ask to be cured. Perhaps she's too depressed. Perhaps she has given up hope. Maybe it doesn't even occur to her to ask that Jesus should help her. We don't know. But we do know that Jesus went with her. Jesus sees her and calls to her in her distress. And when Jesus saw her, the passage reads, he called her and said to her, "Woman, you are free from your infirmity." And then he touches her. He sees the good in her, despite her disability. And so generous is our Lord that he frees her from her uncomfortable, awkward back problem without even being asked to do so. And so she stands up straight. The Bible tells us that the Spirit has caused her illness. This is a way of saying that her problem was not merely physical, but also psychological in some way. Remember that Luke is writing long before Freud and before psychoanalysis, and that's the way they thought of and spoke of such things at the time. And as I said, perhaps she was depressed. Perhaps she felt, down and out. And this was her way of expressing that feeling. We don't really know. And all we know is that Jesus said, "You are free from your infirmity," and then he laid his hand on her. So it was the physical contact with Jesus that liberated that woman. Part of the reason that I like this passage so much is that I had an experience that was similar to the experience of the old lady in Jesus. Some years ago, when I had a torn rotator cuff problem, the doctor said to me that I had to have an MRI. I said, "No! I can't do it. I'm horribly claustrophobic. I've never gotten through successfully in MRI. I always panic and call the whole thing off." But the doctor quietly insisted, "We'll give you something for you to relax and you'll be fine. You'll see." So I relented. But it was against my better judgment. On the day of the dreaded MRI, I took the value the doctor had prescribed, and the friend who had come with me for the test tried to assure me, "You can do it," he kept saying. "Just breathe in and breathe out." I went into the lab and into the ominous looking room with its large machine, and I lay on the pallet. The technician slid me into the machine, and as you may know, those of you who have the same or similar phobias, the MRIs are not only rather enclosed, they are also very noisy. Bang! Bang! Was a huge magnet inside the machine. Although the technicians will give you earphones and classical music to muffle the sound if you wish. To top it all off, the procedure is also rather long. It's usually at least 3/4 of an hour. But I did it, and much to my surprise, it went pretty well for most of the time. I guess it must have been the value. Then about 10 minutes before the end, everything seemed to go off the rails for me. I panicked. I felt like I was in a coffin. And so I shouted out to call hold it off and be taken out of the machine. The technician in the there's a sort of glass booth, you know, at the end of the room. And the technician came out and I thought he would be angry with me. But he wasn't angry. He was kind. He was understanding. And he said, "You've come so close to the end. Why don't we try to finish it up? We won't put you all the way into the machine, and I'll hold your hand." That will help. "Well, I'll hold your hand." Those words kind of tumbled over and over again in my head. I didn't ask him to do that. He just offered to do it. And so I took this stranger's hand, and lo and behold, it helped me. It got me through the last 10 minutes, and my doctors got the information I needed. I never knew that stranger's name, but I thank you. What happened to me is the same story as that of the woman in St. Luke's shop. It's the same story 2,000 years later. And the same story may have happened also to you. Acts of kindness that are given or received testify to God's presence in our world. It reminds us, in the words of one of our favorite hymns, the old hundred, "Praise God, from whom all blessings come." Amen.